There are standard procedures for police departments to follow when someone reports a rape. That includes a medical exam and the collection of DNA evidence through the use of a rape kit. There are no rules, though, generally, about when that evidence has to be processed and how quickly the case has to be pursued, if it is pursued. According to recent reports, rape kits are being shelved and left unprocessed for years. In some cases, the evidence is stored improperly and then contaminated. And in the worst-case scenarios, rape kits have been destroyed by the police. In places like Los Angeles and New York, efforts are being made to change this, and now Detroit and Houston are taking steps to do the same. Joining us now, Helena Lazaro. She was kidnapped and raped when she was 17. For 6 years, her rape kit was shelled and unprocessed, and in that time, her perpetrator went on to commit additional crimes. Helena, can you explain to us what your thoughts were when your rape kit, the evidence just sat there on the shelf for year after year?
Yeah, that's correct, and I contacted the Sheriff's Department regularly to request updates and just got funneled through voicemail in the system and wasn't able to get any results on that.
They never explained to you why the evidence wasn't being processed?
No, and they haven't to this day. I believed at one point that my kit was one of the many that was destroyed during that time, and kind of just on my last shred of hope, reached out to this organization who then obtained the status of the kit and found out that it had been tested and it did have a match.
Also with us this morning, Natasha Alizenko, rape kit left unprocessed for almost a decade after she was assaulted, and she's since set up a foundation to stop these sorts of rape kit backlogs from continuing. It's called Natasha's Justice Project. Natasha, can you explain why this happens? Are police departments simply too overworked?
It's a number of things. Of course, each kit costs between $800 and $1,500 to process, so that is certainly part of the problem. But really, there's really a lack of understanding. I think DNA technology has really taken off, and we're really not ready for it. Our police departments aren't ready for it. There's not a set of standards and procedures that are put in place to tackle this issue.
So that sounds like you're not blaming the police or thinking that they're treating rape cases differently than other cases.
No, I do believe that, actually. I think certainly they have the best of intentions. But yes, absolutely. I believe that rape cases are treated different than any other. Certainly, it's the only type of crime where we really look and blame the victim oftentimes, isn't it? We ask what they were wearing, what they were doing at that time of night. Certainly, Helena can attest to that. It's almost like we're re-victimized on the stand. So, yeah, we are treated very differently. When your home is robbed, nobody is asking what you were wearing.
Well, that's Natasha Alizenko. She's founded a new foundation called Natasha's Justice Project to try and end this practice of leaving rape kits on shelves for years and years and years. And Helena, let me send this back to you then. Do you feel as though the response you got from the police was a result of the kind of crime you were reporting, that it was because you were reporting a rape?
I think that had a lot to do with it. I think my age at the time I was 17 made me somehow seem less important, less credible, and the interest just wasn't there. You know, the interest isn't there. We don't test the kits because they're not a priority. And that when we do that, we tell victims, again, that you're not a priority. This crime isn't important. And we tell perpetrators, it's okay. You know, you can get away with it. There aren't really consequences for your actions, for the most part.
But Natasha, this is a real problem because it's already difficult to get people to report rape. I mean, there's already a barrier put in place for people, a fear for both women and, you know, the men who are victims to come forward anyway. It seems as though this situation would make that even more so.
You're absolutely right. Certainly, when you go to do a rape kit after the crime has been committed, essentially your body is a crime scene. So we're talking about every rape kit that's sitting on a shelf represents a human being who's been victimized. And we certainly encourage individuals to come forward. I know Helene and I can both attest to that. But certainly, I mean, it's a very underreported crime. We know this statistically. And when we're finding out that between 180,000 and 400,000 rape kits are sitting on shelves untested, I mean, that absolutely, I believe, you know, gives us pause. Definitely.
Natasha Alizenko's rape kit was left unprocessed for almost a decade. Helena Lazaro was kidnapped and raped when she was 17, and her rape kit sat on the shelf for 6 years. In fact, at this point, you think it may have been lost or destroyed.
Correct, yeah. I didn't have a status on it, and it wasn't until the advocacy group, Peace Over Violence, got involved that they found it was like literally and within 2 weeks. I'd waited almost 14 years with no answer, and within 2 weeks, we had the kit, we had the hit, and the investigation was full steam ahead.
How do you know that the perpetrator who victimized you went on to commit additional crimes?
He was incarcerated for brutally raping his wife at knife point about a month after he raped me. But they pled that down to sexual battery because, well, there wasn't a record of him being a rapist at that time.
When so you feel finished, you feel that if your rape kit had been processed and they'd moved forward the investigation, it could have either prevented him from being free to do what he was convicted of, or it would have brought him a harsher penalty.
Yeah, that's correct. A harsher penalty, and it certainly would have been his last rape. But in this case, it wasn't. He was released in just a few months, and within 8 weeks of release, went on to rape another woman, abduct and rape another woman. So, and then he was free for several years and a cross-country truck driver.
Natasha Alezenko, now with the many police in the cities like Detroit and Los Angeles and New York returning to these rape kits, the evidence in some cases is simply too old. Isn't that right?
Well, thankfully in New York, the statutes of limitation has been eliminated in 2007. Certainly in L.A., as long as there's DNA evidence, there's no statute. So we're just so excited to see these kits finally getting tested. New York City had a backlog of 11,000 kits, and they eliminated each and every one, and now they're doing a great job. Normally the kits have a 90-day turnover, which we think is fantastic, and we certainly hope that other jurisdictions will follow the great example New York has done.
That's Natasha Alezenko. She has founded Natasha's Justice Project to try and address this backlog of rape kits sitting in cities around the country. And Helena Lazaro, kidnapped, raped when she was 17 years old. Her rape kit has still, to her knowledge at least, not been processed. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.